This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Recovery Radio. My name is Steve Martoreno. We're here on Saturdays. We talk about the disease of addiction and we talk about, most importantly, the path to recovery. Because what you may not have heard in all the information about the substance abuse epidemic is that, as grim as the story is, and it's grim, millions and millions of people have managed and are managing long-term successful sobriety. So we emphasize that on Recovery Radio. And, of course, the whole thing is sponsored by Retreat, Premier Addiction Treatment Centers. I said that flawlessly, you'll note, because I'm a pro and the bosses are our guests on the program this week. We are delighted to have back with us the founder and CEO of Retreat, Peter Shore, and his strong right arm, Ken Koza, who's the chief operating officer. Guys, welcome back.
He's both arms. He's not just.
He's just both arms. Well, guys, thanks. I know you're busy. We appreciate it. It's been too long for both of you. We got to have you on more frequently than this. Up from Florida, everything in the Sunshine State is fine. I take it.
Everything's going really well. Thank you.
By the way, take a moment, Ken, and tell us what's been going on this week at Retreat here in Lancaster
County.
What's been
Thanks going for on? Having us, Steve. So this week is our sixth anniversary at Retreat in Lancaster County. So we've been up here doing our staff picture. We get all 380 Pennsylvania staff members together for a photo and a barbecue. And then we have what we call Interdependence Day with all 50 of our managers. They come together and we discuss leadership, what's going on with the company, and how we can continue to progress within the industry.
Yeah, you also left out the entertainment quotient of this thing. You guys are all going to be you do a kind of variety show, right, for everybody?
We do. They do a Retreat Productions. They put on a whole show for the patients. And just so happens this week, the special guest was Peter and the Retreaters. Well, you have two members sitting here right now.
What'd you play?
Well, we played three songs in this. They do a Through the Decades was the theme. So we did Proud Mary, we did Creep, and Hallelujah.
And before you guys got here for the program here, I met, Fat Elvis. Fat Elvis shows up, which is, I told John.
Old Elvis. Don't call him Fat.
Well, he characterized your transportation.
Yeah, he's doing Elvis through the decade. He's actually doing Elvis in the 70s, so I guess it is Fat Elvis.
He was very excited about that. Well, anyway, so it's good. As I said, it's good to have you back here, Peter. Let's begin with the kind of overview. As I said at the outset, the substance abuse problem in this country now has finally cracked through to the mainstream. There's no doubt about what's going on here. The word epidemic is now correctly used to describe this. And you're over 30 years in the field now. Have you ever seen a situation with substance abuse this bad?
I haven't seen it that it's publicized so much. Addiction's been around for as long as I remember. Like you said, I've been in this field 37 years. Wow. But it the way it's publicized now and what you see, and you're seeing a lot more young people getting into addiction and dying from it. The drugs are much, much purer than they was, 10 years ago. Years ago, heroin percentage was, 12, 15%. Now it's close to 90% pure. So it's come a long way, and it's just, it's terrible what's going out there. There's so many kids dying from this disease. It's the number one killer for kids 18 to 25 now.
It's a slaughter. I mean, there's no other word to describe it. And you're right, it has cracked through to sort of a level where we talk about it. The other thing that's going on that's interesting, finally, is that for the most part, people are now looking at it as a health crisis rather than a criminal justice problem. That's critical to any success going forward, isn't it?
That is. Unfortunately, the criminal system hasn't really caught up to that yet. I mean, you read about that; they're publicizing it and they're making it a political thing. But again, education to judges and prosecutors have really changed the thinking of what addiction is, and that's important that people understand that it is a disease and it's not something that's just a criminal act. You're going to do it because you're sick.
Yeah, and we can't. given the size of this, the scope of it, and it's not abating. This epidemic grows. It's completely unrealistic to think you can arrest your way out of this. I mean, you can't arrest your way out of this problem.
No, you know, unfortunately, we've had a lot of patients who have been incarcerated, and they said they use drugs in prison. So it's not like you send them to prison and it goes away. You know, it's available there, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. About treatment in prison, this is an area that we brushed up against a couple of times. What is your view on compulsory treatment? First of all, is it possible to compel somebody? I know the courts can say it, but in terms of does that work? What do you think?
Well, again, forced treatment is a tough sell to begin with. I mean, we get that with a lot of young kids who come into treatment, their parents bring them there, and they don't want to be there. So it would be the same when someone's incarcerated. If you dangle a carrot in front of their face and say, if you go through this treatment, you'll get out sooner. But are they invested in it? That's what's important. How do you get them to be invested in the treatment that it's actually going to get them well? And that's a tough sell.
So when we hear things like mandatory treatment of prisoners, while it is on the surface an obviously good idea, there's no guarantee that just because they're under lock and key, this is going to take, correct?
Yeah, correct. I mean, it's mandatory. Actually, when it's mandatory, it kind of makes it, you know, they're not really invested in it because I have to do it. But, you know, you do have people that, you know, want to get themselves well, and they're incarcerated because of their addiction. And some people, especially older patients, understand that. And they want to, you know, well, how do I get myself well? And if it's available to them, they're going to take advantage of it.
Let's talk about the population that you're seeing now. Has the age gotten older? What's changed about the demographic of patients that come to retreat?
Kenny.
Sure. It's getting younger. There's no question. The opiate epidemic has brought in a younger population. And over the last few years with Obamacare, we've been able to take the younger patients. So 18 to 25 makes up about 50% of our population. And that's definitely been the biggest change.
We don't have the time here now to get deep into the weeds about what goes on in Washington with regard to health care. Mm-hmm. But there was just a terrific battle over that.
Yep.
Obamacare is the law of the land.
That's right.
It remains to be seen whether or not it will be supported.
That's right.
What would be the effect in the short term and then the long term if Obamacare went away?
Well, there's several levels of it. Obviously, the being able to stay on your parents' insurance to 26th, they never really talked about getting rid of that even
That's
with
right.
changing Obamacare because the insurance companies were yep. more likely to keep that also. But, you know, just having available insurance and going to better places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people who were able to get Obamacare usually would have been on Medicaid. Yeah. And they would have to go to a Medicaid facility. And not that Medicaid facilities are bad, because there's some great ones and ones that take public assistance. But you don't have that choice.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of caged in on where you have to go. And what Obamacare did was let you have that choice where you can go to a different facility that accepted insurance.
Well, there's a question I probably should have asked a long time ago. Does Medicare cover substance abuse or doesn't it?
Medicare does.
Medicare?
Mm-hmm.
Not just Medicaid. Medicare does also. Mm-hmm. So younger, huh?
Yep.
And what kind of shape are you seeing? Are you seeing them in really bad
they're
shape?
They're coming in very sick. So at Retreat, what we do is we offer a plethora of services, holistic services, small caseloads, a comfortable, serene environment. What that does is it affords the patient the opportunity to kind of break down the barrier of denial. So when they first come in, like you spoke about earlier, they come in, they're a little bit resistant. Sometimes you get people not ready for treatment. So by offering them services that can make them feel comfortable beds, a chef that makes non-institutionalized food, they get picked up in an Escalade. You provide these type of services to help break down the barrier of denial and help them feel comfortable. And then once they feel comfortable, then you can start to do a little bit of the deeper work to address some of the real sick stuff that we're seeing. But there's no question the complexity of addiction has exacerbated over the years. There's much more dual diagnosis. We're seeing a lot of mental illness coupled with the addiction, and it's tough stuff.
What challenges has that presented from your end well, both as a CEO and an operator.
Well, we've made a conscious decision years ago to not only treat the addiction piece of it, but to treat the mental health part of it. And we have addiction specialists that have, you know, years of training in specialty groups such as trauma. Trauma is very big, especially with young women who've suffered some trauma in their life early. And if nothing changes, and if you don't change the behaviors, nothing will change about the addiction. Because what are you going to do? Your fall safe is, I'm going to use to numb myself from the pain I'm in. So we need to really delve in. So we really have a team approach at Retreat where they have an addiction therapist, a clinical specialist handling the mental health aspect. We have outreach specialists that actually do all the case management. So all our therapists can give therapy, and that's important. You know, mm-hmm. if a therapist has to worry about doing case management, where the patient's going to go, this, it kind of takes away from the treatment process of it. So we made a conscious decision years ago to really make a team effort, and it worked well for our patients. Yeah. But they're sick. They're definitely sicker than they used to be.
And I think the key word is advancement in treatment. So we have to constantly evolve our treatment and stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can meet their needs.
Yeah, yeah. The co-occurring situation is fascinating, and I know you guys have been in front of that.
That's right.
All along. When people come to a facility like Retreat, they go through that evaluation mm-hmm. process at the beginning. That's a critical moment in this whole process, isn't it? Tell us about the evaluation process.
It's critical because that's going to set the tone for their treatment. So what we do is we do an initial assessment when they come in, and based on that assessment, like Peter said, we're going to put them in an individualized track. So we offer various tracks based on the needs of the patient. The old way you did treatment is you came in and it was kind of like a one-size-fits-all.
Right. Which therapist didn't have their caseload full?
Whoever had an opening.
Right,
and now what you're doing is you're meeting with the patient and you're developing a treatment plan, and then you're looking at the different tracks that we offer and putting them in the track that fits best for their needs. And it's individualized. Like you said, trauma would be one. Chronic relapse might be another for those who continuously come back into treatment. And then once they're put into that track, they're going to get a team that specializes
in that area.
So what we have is a 175-bed facility, but it's really broken down into smaller because you have an individualized team, and you have your own primary therapist, you have your own clinical specialist, you'll have your own even nurse that focuses on your care, and many others that are built into that team, the outreach specialist that specializes in the type of aftercare that would meet the needs for the patients of that demographic.
And we have to be careful with, because when people first come in, we do an assessment. And some people can't come in that, you know, are very toxic. You know, mm-hmm. when you're doing assessment, you may not get all the information you need at that time. So we're constantly doing that and upgrading it and updating it. So if we have to make a change while they're in mm-hmm. treatment, we can. We don't want to waste time. We want to make sure that in the short period of time that we have a patient, that they get everything they need.
Our guests in the studio are Peter Shure. Peter is the founder and chief executive officer of Retreat Premier Addiction Treatment Centers, and his chief operating officer, Ken Koza, is also with us. You're listening to Recovery Radio. Don't go anywhere, okay? Welcome back to Recovery Radio. We're here on Saturdays. We talk about the disease of addiction, the whole thing sponsored by Retreat Premier Addiction Treatment Centers. We've been talking about them, which is just and proper, since the bosses are here, the men who put this place together and see that it is a premier place. Peter Shure is the founder and CEO, president of Retreat, and Ken Koza is with us. Ken is the chief operating officer. So we've got this enormous problem. Millions and millions of people are affected by this disease or susceptible to this disease, and we keep reading that only a small percentage of people get help. First of all, how small a percentage, and why aren't they getting the help they need?
Well, I mean, there's many reasons. One is probably 10% of the population of just the United States suffers from some form of addiction, not necessarily substance abuse, but a good percentage of that is. So you're talking about millions of people, and less than 1 million people a year seek treatment.
So there could be as many as 30 million people that are potentially affected by this disease and less than a million or a million.
I wouldn't say that 30 million have substance abuse addiction. I mean, there's many different forms of addiction, eating disorder, everything. But millions. And why aren't they going for treatment? Many reasons. One is they don't want to. One is they can't afford to. They don't have insurance. They fall through that crack where they don't have insurance. They don't qualify for public assistance. There is a reason of you know, the insurance companies are just, they don't give them the time. They don't. They we're starting to, you know, have better relationships with insurance companies where they're understanding that this is a disease and treat it the same way you treat someone. You know, people use the analogy of a diabetic. I mean, recidivism is part of this. This is a disease. You have a disease. And if you relapse on it, it's part of your disease. You know, you deserve to go in treatment every time you relapse, because if not, you could die.
You know, we're all heartened and encouraged by the fact that finally this notion of the disease model of addiction has taken root and is almost universally appreciated. But in truth, I think you guys will agree, while it's a disease and it looks like a disease like other diseases, it has unique features. And some of those unique features, I think, are the reasons why people don't get help. For instance, correct me if I'm wrong. You've both been clinicians. You've both been counselors in your career. So I'm sure you've seen this. Isn't it true that unlike diabetes or cancer, which people do not deny they have, this disease is easy to go, I'm not sick. Right. See that all the time, don't you?
All the time.
Without a doubt.
I'm not an addict. I'm not an alcoholic. All the time. I mean, denial is part of the disease. I mean, like anything. But again, if you can't live your life without using substance, you know, pretty much that's the definition of the disease.
Yeah, I think with that is the perception of choice for the public. So stigma is another big piece to why people don't seek treatment. I think there's a perception with cancer and these other diseases that you had no control or choice in the matter. With the disease of addiction, there's the perception of choice, that they're choosing to live this way. But hopefully that is starting to change with you're seeing the opioid epidemic killing so many people, especially with fentanyl and carfentanil, and just the potency of it and the fact that people are still willing to do it will hopefully slowly change the perception of public and the perception of choice.
Yeah, the tragedy with regard to the denial is that while it seems denial on the fringes, in other words, people around this disease is diminished, it still holds on to the addict with a fierceness. That's a difficult thing to say. I am sick, and by the way, I'm sick with a disease for which there is no cure.
And both of us know many people who have had years and years of clean time that have relapsed. And that just shows you that how powerful this disease is. And there isn't a cure, and it doesn't go away. But there's ways that you can control it and live with it.
You know, one of the things that I know you wanted to make a point about the sort of medical context in which Retreat looks at this problem. And talk a little bit about the psychological or psychiatric aspect of what you
do. Sure, Steve. When you asked earlier what changes in the field, what we're seeing is definitely a more complex medical issue. People are coming in with more severe medical issues, whether it's internal, external ambulatory, whatever the case may be, mental illness. So we do offer psychiatry. We have a psychologist on staff, and then we have a full staff of physicians and actually an OBGYN as well that handles pregnant women. So we understand the significance of the medical issues that are coming from this addiction, and you need to treat that.
Yeah, that's another area you guys have stepped out in front of, both women, pregnant women who are abusing substances, and also know you're doing great outreach for veterans too, right?
Veteran program has grown immensely since we've spoken last. It's something that's very dear to me and dealing. We do up here in Pennsylvania, we were doing detox for one of the local VA hospitals, and that's the only level of care that we were able to do at the time. And they had to go back to either the VA, and the VA would tell us when they were done that they should go to a homeless shelter. And they once, this was on a Veterans Day a couple of years ago, they actually, one of our employees called me up and said they want to send him to a homeless shelter because they don't have a bed. And I said, there is no way, and any day, let alone Veterans Day, that I'm sending a vet to a homeless shelter because they don't have a bed ready. So what we've been able to do is we've became a preferred provider with Health Net, which manages all the VA medical system. So we can take all levels of care now in both our facilities in Florida and Pennsylvania, where not only are they staying, they do get extra time, almost 52 days, but they're doing all levels of care going into recovery houses, getting themselves well, learning that they can go out there and get jobs and be productive and not people giving up on them. And that's important to us.
You have all the people that we ought not to forget. Certainly veterans are among them. Peter Shore and Ken Koza, the executive staff or executive of Retreat, Premier Addiction Treatment Center, is our guest here on Recovery Radio. We have more with Peter and Ken. Please don't go away. Welcome back to Recovery Radio. Before we get back to our guests, Peter Shore and Ken Koza, a reminder that this program is supported by, paid for, by Retreat Premier Addiction Treatment Centers. And I tell you every week that that's the truth of it. So, you know, we don't try to deny who the sponsor is. But the mandate of the program has always been, from day one, informational about the disease of addiction and treatment. Retreat's justifiably proud of what they do, but this program is about telling people what they're facing and maybe saving a few lives. And we give you the phone number every week, and every week I say, hope you never have to use it. And I think I'm echoing the sentiments of our guests, but I'll let Peter tell you. That's pretty much what this show's about, right?
It is. We want it to be educational about addiction. We have people who have come on and speak from other facilities. It's we talk about Retreat because that's what we know. We work at Retreat and we can talk about our program verbatim because that's what we know. And we hope, and our hope is in this industry, is that we can all band together and make sure that patients get the treatment that's provided not only at Retreat, but there are many really good facilities in the country and really caring facilities. And that's what we're about. We want to make sure that people understand that you need to get into treatment if you need it.
And I'm here to tell you that's sincere. This show began, in fact, before Peter and Retreat decided that they would sponsor it, and it was run that way as well. And he rose to that. He said, yes, if I'm going to get involved in this, that's what I want the show to be. So I'm going to give you their phone number. They are prepared to answer any questions you have about anything you've heard on this program or any questions you have in general about the disease of addiction. It is 855-859-8808. That's 855-859-8808. Again, I'll tell you what I always say. You have on your refrigerator those magnets that have police and fire, maybe poison control, and they're there and you never want to use them. But if you had to, it could be important. That's the way we feel about this number. Retreat Premier Addiction Treatment Centers. Here's the number, 855-859-8808. Their CEO and founder, Peter Shore, with us, and Ken Koza, who's the chief operating officer. Let's take some time here in this segment, guys, to talk about one of the great fallacies, that even as people learn more and more about this disease and the road to recovery, they still, I think, have a Hollywood version of what we're talking about here. Betty Ford, 28 days. Sandra Bullock shows up messed up.
But one and done.
Meets right. A cute doctor, and they live happily ever after. Right. What's wrong with that scenario, Peter?
I don't hire cute doctors just for that. Dr. Giancarlo is very cute, so I don't want him to get himself. But, you know, it's a process. It's not something that's just you go for 30 days in a treatment center and you're healed. I mean, a lot of people think that. And you know what? Some people have gone to treatment one time and it's worked, but the majority of people, it doesn't work that way. It's a process. And where, you know, you need to go through that full continuity of care. And I talked about earlier where our outreach specialists do all the case management. And what they're charged with doing is making sure that people have an aftercare plan in place. So when they leave us, whether it's going to another outpatient somewhere else, it's their job to vet that facility to make sure that, you know, the standards are met by what we do at Retreat. I just don't want to send people somewhere and unravel everything that we do. So their job is to make sure they go have an aftercare plan where, you know, there's a full continuity of we'd like them to go to, you know, our program is detox, rehab, a partial hospitalization program, and an intensive outpatient program. We'd like them to go through that full continuity of care. And that could take months. And it's important that they do that. And then we recommend that they get involved in some fellowship like AA or NA because the statistics show that if you do all of that, your chances of staying clean and sober are just that much higher.
When someone comes to the facility, What's the practice? Is the practice to let them know that this is what we're talking about, or are they in too bad a shape at that point to be given that kind of information?
Yeah, that'll depend case by case. But internally, that process starts right from when they get there. So continuity of care exists from the day they walk into treatment, sometimes even before in planning, until we send them off. And then when we do our follow-up calls, which we do 30, 60, 90, 6 months and a year, follow-up calls. So the process definitely starts from the day they get
one.
There.
How important is it to make sure that, in addition to the patient understanding that you're talking about a process, that the family understands?
Well, that's why we have a comprehensive family education program where parents can and family members can learn and understand about the disease and the process and what's recommended by us as the professionals, what they should do going forward.
I wouldn't say weak link in that chain, that process, but a point of greater concern or danger of relapse in that whole process? I guess I'm thinking about once they leave you guys with this 24/7 oversight, are they at greater risk than they
are? Absolutely. And housing is a big component too, right? So if their home is toxic and where they've lived, they've continually relapsed and that's a trigger for them, they have to live somewhere else. And oftentimes they've burned bridges. So it's about finding them a healthy, stable, comfortable place to live. Whatever community they're going to.
Let's talk about all of that, because that's that aftercare that I know you guys are conscientious in following. But we hear a lot, and certainly in this area, and I'm sure other areas, the proliferation of what are called sober living facilities.
Yeah. One of the challenges that we faced when we first opened Retreat 6 years ago was there wasn't a big recovery community in this area, in Lancaster and York and Berks County. So we really had to develop that. And what was available to us for recovery houses was kind of far, not something that I felt comfortable sending, especially if a parent sends their child to us. It's a responsibility we take. And I feel responsible for not only when they're with us, but when they leave us, that we're going to recommend somewhere that's going to be safe, clean, and that they have a chance to continue on with their recovery. So that was a challenge, because there really wasn't anything like that. But as we grew and more people wanted to come into the community and have these, safe and clean and really nice recovery houses where patients can go and then continue on with their aftercare, they kind of grew with us. And the same thing has happened in Florida, where Florida is notorious for these sober living houses and how they prey on patients. So, we have to vet all that out. It's a process that we have to go through, and our outreach department does a great job doing that in both facilities.
Yeah, just so people don't think this is completely and utterly about altruism, although there's a good deal of that in this field, it's important for you guys to stay on top of what those sober facilities are like, because your work is dependent upon whether they're doing their job, right?
Yep.
And we don't want them to unravel what we
exactly.
do, too, because that's right. And that can happen very easily.
Mm-hmm. The other area that I hear about from people who are looking at this disease from the outside is the relapse factor. And I've come to it's kind of the realization on myself that when I hear about multiple relapse now and people ask me about it, come on, Steve, they all relapse. I say, yeah, a lot of people relapse. And you know what? They keep getting up. They keep getting up and trying again.
Yeah.
You talked, Ken, a little earlier about a special track for chronic relapsers.
Yeah, so relapse is part of addiction, but it's also part of many other diseases. It's the nature of disease. People do struggle and they relapse and they come back. But what we look at is not just how many times they come back to your center. Peter has developed a program that is, I think, so wonderful that a lot of times people do want to come back to Retreat. But it's how many times do you relapse before you maintain prolonged abstinence? And Peter spoke earlier about insurance companies and these pay-for-performance programs that they're doing. The insurance companies have really extensive software. So they're able to track some pretty neat stuff. So what they do with us is they actually track our patients to see how many times they typically relapse before prolonged abstinence. And it's been really effective for us to see that and see how we do in terms of offering all these things, like you said, the tracks that we offer and what the return on that is. And we are seeing that we are doing very well in terms of how many times a patient has to come back prior to long-term sobriety.
You know, wherever they go.
Right.
Total treatment stays is the way they describe it.
So let me ask you, with regard to anybody listening to this program who's loved one or maybe personally have relapsed multiple times and maybe they're worried about insurance, thing, mm-hmm. what do you tell somebody about in that situation? I've relapsed six times or my kid has relapsed six times. What do I do? Mm-hmm. Should they call you?
Sure. I mean, first of all, they still have insurance, you know. Just because you relapse doesn't mean. I mean, we'll fight for them, and we'll usually win where we get them into treatment. Insurance companies look at it as dollars and cents. They don't really care about what's going on with the patient. Unfortunately, I said this years ago to an insurance company where you're not looking at this correctly. If something, you know, all these patients are going to have some kind of medical issues later on in life, and you know what they said to me? We don't really care. The average patient stays 2.5 years.
Then he's somebody else's problem.
That's mm-hmm. right. Hot potato. Someone's going to get caught with it.
All right.
Although there are less insurance companies now,
right.
So that is starting to change. By default, that'll change.
That mentality.
Yeah, I was going to say they can't afford to behaving.
But they're all buying each other.
You know,
so.
And like Ken said, we've really developed good relationships with our insurance companies. You know, when you originally open, or even if they never get to see your facility, they lump you in with everybody. They don't understand. They think, you know, all drug and alcohol hospitals, they do the same thing. You know, but when we get them to come see our facility and see the different program we have and seeing the success we have and like what are you saying about being in a pilot project with Aetna so that they can measure our success and measure a lot of different things that help them dealing with other providers.
Well, that was an encouraging thing I hadn't heard about, because that's always been the problem with the process you just talked about, and that's how do you measure whether this is effective or not? Because you're right, they're dollars and cents guys, and they want to see, in effect, a return on the investment. If I'm going to put the money out, does it work? So it's good that there's been some work on that. We're talking to Peter Shore, who is the founder and chief executive officer of Retreat, Premier Addiction Treatment Centers, and his chief operating officer, Ken Koza. It's always great to have you guys back. We have another segment with them, so we hope you'll stick around. You're listening to Recovery Radio. Don't go away. Welcome back to Recovery Radio. I want to really thank Peter Shore and Ken Koza for joining us. There are no two more qualified people to tell us not only about this disease of addiction, but what's going on with regard to treatment and recovery. As I said at the beginning of the program, as bad as it may look, millions of people do live sober lives, get help, and lead sober lives. So we hope this has been a reminder about that on Recovery Radio. Guys, again, great job. I mean, we see the size of the problem. We see what you're up against. We see the job that Retreat and other facilities are doing to stay ahead of this catastrophe. Where do we go from here? You know, what happens next? How does somebody sitting there go, how do I even pick a place? What's the first move I do?
That's a challenge. Years ago, Psychology Today used to have an article that said best in treatment. That was a whole issue, just best on treatment. We were in it.
Twice, I believe.
Then we had
the best twice.
Then we had the publisher.
We had the chief editor, and we had the owner
of Psychology Today in our office.
I said
to you, how do you choose who's best in treatment? And he looked at me like, what do you mean? Because I said, I looked in your issue, and I know some of those facilities are definitely not best in treatment. And he was like, he kind of smirked at me. You know, he chose it because we advertised and we paid to be in there. So they don't have that issue anymore. and we were telling that story to Aetna. We met with Aetna. They came to our facility. And they were saying, funny you should say that, because what we'd like to do is come up with some kind of rating system where we can rate the facilities, because, you know, we have thousands of providers. How do we rate them? How do we choose who is a preferred provider? Who will we send to, you know, to recommend to someone calling up? And, you know, they look on the back of their card. There's a number. They call up. Where should I go? I need treatment. You know, so they came up with this whole criteria that we've been working with them for and have done excellent with it. So, you know, if someone calls Aetna, you know, usually there was a geographical restriction on how far they would tell you to go from a treatment center, you know, from where you live. They don't do that with us. They'll send hundreds of miles from us because they believe in what we're doing and believe in our program. And I believe that other people are getting involved in this. And you need to find out what's a good treatment program. A lot of times, who's our best marketers? The patients that have gone through our facility. Yeah. they go back and they say to their referents, you know, that they did a great job. They really cared about me. I really got something out of the program. But are you staying clean and sober? That's the thing. And we have, I think, what, 60 or 70 people that have gone through our program that work for us.
Many of which are in management as well.
Right. They started at entry-level positions and worked their way up to management positions. That's our success.
Well, we've had many of the alumni on. We're going to, throughout the summer, you're going to hear a lot of those success stories because it is powerful.
It is. Nothing more powerful than hearing someone's success story.
Yeah, absolutely. This notion is this is interesting. As you guys, and again, I know you are in the forefront of this, working to sort of codify how somebody from the outside can go, what's best for me?
Right.
What will work? And it's difficult because some of the people that you're trying to get the information from have the disease.
Right. And as a facility, a challenge for us is not to lose sight on what our main goal is, to get people well. Yep. You know, if we get caught up in this whole thing, what we have to do and this and that and paperwork, you lose sight on the big picture is to get people who come into you to get themselves well. And that's what we're charged with, and that's what we do best.
Is there something, off the top of your head, is there something that someone looking for a facility should keep in mind in terms of a red flag? If we see lots of commercials on television. Call now if you're addicted.
One of the things is a pet peeve with me is if you look at on a website and they don't have pictures of that facility, that puts up a red flag to me.
That's perfect.
Right.
If all you see is the beach and it's South Florida, then you know there might be.
And there are no places on the beach.
I read recently of a scandalous behavior of certain people where they hijack your phone number right off your website, redirect it to one of these referral places. You're over that. But this stuff on television, to be clear here now, unless they absolutely identify the facility and where it is, they're just a referral service, right?
Yes. They're like a call center.
And what they want to do, first question they're going to ask you, or the second is, what's your insurance, right?
That's right. Yep.
And then how's it work from there? They just then direct it to a facility that'll pay them a fee.
Essentially, they're lead generators. They generate leads to the other providers. Another thing you want to look for is the web. So SEO clicks and Google advertising is like the number one way now that people can get you and get to you, because most families, you know, the old day you called the back of your insurance card. Today, you Google it, right? Best treatment centers. Well, if you Google best treatment centers, you're not going to find scientific response. You're going to see, like Peter said about Psychology Today, you're going to see people that have spent some money, and whoever spent the most amount of money is going to show up at the top of the list.
Yeah.
And that's where you might click on it and see a picture of the beach and that this is the place to go. But again, when you're working with these insurance companies now, you can call your insurance company, you can call a family friend. Our alumni program, we're expanding our services now to offer family support programs in various communities, so you can attend something like that and ask around a little bit and get feedback. If you're a family member, Al-Anon is a great place to go. You can ask people, have you heard of this place, and get responses from people to make sure it's a place you can trust.
Well, again, when people ask me things like, you know, Steve, does treatment work? My sort of stock answer is it works for the people it works for. And I know that sounds like it's circular, but it's true, isn't it? I mean,
it works if you work it. That's part of AA.
And you don't know if it'll work for you unless, of course, you try.
And we joke about this, but people ask all the time, what are the percentage of the people that come through your facility that stay clean and sober? 100% of the ones that listen.
Nothing could be clearer. Peter Shore, Ken Koza, thanks so much for not only coming and doing the program, but obviously, Peter, thanks so much for supporting this program.
My pleasure.
We like to think that people know about us and are getting the message.
And we appreciate that you spreading the word about addiction, and people should. And it's not just about retreat. It's about getting into treatment.
We're very proud to be a part of this.
Thanks, guys. Thanks. And everybody, enjoy the rest of your weekend. And please look for us next Saturday on Recovery Radio. Bye-bye.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.